Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
If you're going to get a blessing of this service, you need to sing and pay attention to the hymns, because I must tell you, we are practicing what we have down through the years as a local church. We do not make a big deal about special days, except the Lord's Day, which is 52 times a year we observe the Lord's Day in commemoration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't really go in for this one day thing. And so I tell you ahead of time, but these are blessed hymns. Will you sing with me the first one, 197? Sight is glorious. 217. 217.
Crown him, crown.
We refer to this day as the Lord's Day. We don't refer to it as Easter, or as they also would try to make it sound a little better, Resurrection Day or Resurrection Sunday. It is the Lord's Day, and it's the only day that the Lord has given us a duty of responsibility or obligation, the 52 Sundays in a year, and honor the Lord. Remember to honor Him on the Lord's Day. You know, I must say this. When does your week start literally? Is it Sunday that you get up and get at it as far as labor? No. Monday is usually the day we start, right? Okay. The Sabbath is orientated over in a period of sevens. And in the Old Testament, there are many different Sabbaths. So if you start on Monday as your week that starts, as you go to work and so forth, the seventh day comes up to the first day of the week, the early church. That's when they met together. The primitive church met on what we call normally the Sunday. I don't like to use that word, but you understand it. The early church, they worshiped on the Sunday or the Lord's Day in commemoration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. You knew that, didn't you? But I tell you that. Well, this 321 hymn is O Day of Rest and Gladness. I hope you will enjoy 321.
Most beautiful, most bright.
for scripture this morning. Brother Dan's going to read it. It is in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, and verses 28 through 32. That is 28th verse to the end of the chapter. This being the word of God, let's give reverence to it by standing, and then we'll have prayer after Brother Dan reads Deuteronomy, 12th chapter, verses 28 to the end of the chapter. And this has to do with how that we treat the Lord's Day, and especially in light of all these other so-called religious days that are found in the church calendar. Brother Dan, please.
Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it.
Amen. This is the word of God. Let us pray. And our Father, this morning we're grateful that in your good providence that you've brought us here, that we may sing these hymns of praise to our blessed Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us, that we might have that peace that passes all understanding, and taking away the fear of death and the comfort of knowing that you're preparing a place for us and that we'll be with thee. We ask our Father you receive our thanks for this. Thank you for giving us the word of God. And we pray this morning that we might listen carefully to it, and that we will do as the forefathers have done, that they use the word as the word of God as for their faith and their practice, and they, by your help, you helped them live by the word of God. Help us in this generation to do such. May our souls and our spirits be revived, be refreshed. May that blessed manna from heaven, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, bless us as we honor our Lord Jesus and our Father. Your blessings be upon each of us. Help us, our Father, as we go in this life, to walk in such a way that we'll be Christ-like, and that you would give us victory over the besetting sins, and that we might have a tender heart, that we want to do that which pleases you. And so look upon each of us this morning, the needs that they have here. Individually, there are those that perhaps have not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. They've not repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We pray for them. We pray for your people to encourage them. Thank you for them and for seeing fit to give us the electing grace. We pray, our Father, that we'll be, O Lord, that we might just return glory and thanks for what you've done for us. We thank you for our blessed Lord Jesus and how that he took our place and how that he took the wrath that we deserve because of the fallen nature, not only the fallen nature, our willful bent to do things that don't please thee, and to realize that Christ paid for all these sins. And our Father, he experienced our hell, and you, Lord, even forsook him and took the forsaking that we deserve. But he died, and our Father, as he died and shed his precious blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And God's blood, our Lord Jesus' blood, was shed for us. Oh, then he was buried, and that he had 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. And then he came forth gloriously, victoriously over Satan and death and our Father in sin. And our Father, we're grateful for the ascension back up into glory from whence he came with a human body. And our Father, glorified human body, and sits at your right hand praying for us that need your guidance. So pray, we pray the Lord, you would look upon us this morning, individually and collectively. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I said that in order to get blessings, a real blessing, you need to pay attention and sing these hymns with me. Will you sing 323 with me? Come, let's join with one accord. 3, 2, 3. And so, you may want to turn to the 12th chapter of Acts, and I want to deal with a passage that Brother Dan also read for us. And I'm dealing with a subject about Easter, or as it is sometimes called, Resurrection Day. A special day, or they have special services. How does that coincide with what God has said about the matter? Now, I realize that some of you have done things all a certain way all your life, as I was not brought up in a church, and this day was a big day for me. I'm telling you, it was. Yeah, and it wasn't an observance of the resurrection either. It was Easter, and what a time it was. And then when I became religious, before I got saved, I practiced what the so-called churches do on this day, a sunrise services, and what we have also, the matter of Easter egg hunt, and, oh boy, candies of all sort, eggs, yeah, and rabbits. You know, I want to say this. Years ago, I had down in the barn 100 mother rabbits. We call them does. And that we had rabbits all over the place in cages. I never saw one yet that laid an egg like is portrayed. And I like rabbits. I like to eat them, too. And I really like them. I have a real place for rabbits. But how in the world is it connected with Easter? You ever think about this a little bit? You see, the early church, they had special times where they met and they preached the gospel, but they had other times, like Paul, he rented the hall and they had the school of Tyrannus. And the church is basically a schoolhouse. So if you think it's a place whereby we can perhaps be entertained and have some fun, well, I do believe in entertainment and fun, but I don't believe that's what the Lord wants us to do when we meet together in His name. I think He wants us to sing praises and read the Word of God and have the Word of God expounded and enjoy our fellowship with one another. And this is a great day. And so I want us to recognize this afresh. But anyway, in this 12th chapter of Acts, I had a brother say to me, "Hey, most of the translations don't call it Easter, this 12th chapter of Acts in verse 4. What's wrong with the King James Version? The King James Version must be wrong." When I hear somebody say that to me, it's just, wait a minute. I'm not a King James only person. I use other translations and versions. But when somebody starts knocking the King James Version, I just get a little excited inside because God has used it so mightily and in revivals. Now you say, well, it's old, it's archaic, it's something. Hey, listen, God has used this blessed book. This is the Word of God. And so we here have this passage in Acts 12 where we find the Word, and I just would have us to consider, what about this Easter resurrection day that everybody is a churchy kind of people are making a fuss about? How does it coincide with the Word of God? What is this all about? Well, if I start to read at verse 1, "Now about this time Herod the king," and it's important you get this context, "the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, and then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him unto four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intent after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, you know the rest of the story, how God released Peter from prison. Now, you might say, there you go, preacher. You've opened this service up and said that Easter was not really the correct way to worship the Lord, Easter services, or as it is paraphrased, perhaps, the resurrection day. But here it is. It's in the Bible, preacher. What's your problem? Well, my problem is not by changing it to Passover like most of the translators do, the more modern ones, but keep it just like it is. Keep the word Easter there. Because it is right. And if you have Strong's Concordance and you look at the back for the word Easter, and he uses it as it can be translated, Easter, I think he's probably one of the best in understanding the Word of God, Strong's. And so it's still kind of confusing what's this all about. It's about Herod. What do I mean? It was Herod's holy day. I don't quite understand that. Well, you'd understand it if you realize contextually the Passover already occurred before the day of Easter. Oh, come on here. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants. A soldier to keep him, attending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But it was the time of the days of the unleavened bread. Let's see if I can find a definition here. I should have one here. Let's see, what's this? Oh, this is Easton's Bible Dictionary about Easter. Easter originally it was a Saxon word, Estrus. It denoting a goddess of the Saxons, in honor of whom sacrifices were offered about the time of the Passover. Hence the name came to be given to the festival of the resurrection of Christ, which occurred at the time of the Passover. And what he is really saying here is, this is proper. It had to do with Herod, because Herod was the fellow who believed, he's a worshiper, he was a pagan worshiper, of what? He celebrated the death and the resurrection of Tammuz or Tammuz. He's the sun god. Huh? And if you would understand this, and by the way, if you got an encyclopedia, read it for yourself. You can read as well as I can about the matter of the origin of Easter. And you find that is true. Some churches this morning had sunrise service. I used to participate in them. Freeze to death sometimes, but say, what's wrong with having a sunrise service? What's right with it if it's not found in the Word of God? For Herod, it was all right. He worshipped Tammuz, and who was Tammuz? He was the sun god, and he also, in that worship, they had the matter of the death and the resurrection of Tammuz, and he was also associated with Esther, which is where to get the word Easter. What am I saying? I'm saying this is right. It had to do with Herod and his pagan worship and not the Christian worship. I just ask you to check it out for yourself. I think if that doesn't confuse you, why, you're just going to get on confused somehow. But historically, the sunrise service was taken from this kind of worship. A lot of things are that way. And you say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. You don't. Let me ask you this. If God said, and Dan read it, if God said, you don't add to or demise what I've said, he said, this is what I want you to do. And I say, well, I think I'm going to do it this way. If you're a servant of God and you're a preacher, you're in trouble. And if you listen to a preacher, you're accountable for what you hear and what you practice too, not only behind this pulpit, but in those chairs. You're responsible also. I suppose I'll get the biggest licking if I'm wrong, but you also have the duty to check out the Word of God too. And so historically, we found that we've got a problem with, and you got to name names. I don't know how you do it. You say, well, I don't like you naming names. All right, let me rip off all the prescription labels on in your medicine cabinet. No, you better not do that. Well, then what's wrong with naming names? We have to have names. And so I want to say to you, and I don't like to do it. I'll tell you very frankly, I didn't want to preach this, talk about this morning. I like to be like you. I like to have my senses. I like to please my senses. Hey, what would be wrong in having some beautiful colors? I love colors. I like eggs that are just beautiful. Don't you like them? See, why are you preaching then? God has not, and what's the origin of the matter of colored eggs? What does it mean? Is it all right? This is the Lord's day. There are 52 in a year, and he said, honor me. He didn't say, take this special day and run it into the Lord's day, even though it has a resurrection tone to it. Back on the farm, we used to put rings in pigs' nose. You know why? Because they'd root up the pasture. And so we got tired of going out there and falling down and this pig's rooting up, so we put rings in their snouts. If I may say this, and it sounds gross, that you take this blessed truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that is to be, we're to honor him 52 times a year, and you just take it, and you make a big deal and bring in all these things, like the Playboy magazine, bring in the bunnies or whatever, and talk about all this and these things. Let me tell you something. It'd be like taking a slough of pure gold and sticking it in the snout of a pig. And say, there, that's good. You mean that precious gold ring in the snout of the pig? That didn't look good. That's exactly what we're doing about many of these things that we promote and say, well, it's all right, as long as it's resurrection. God says, you do what I tell you to do. You say, well, yes, sir. Some of you obey the government more than you do the Word of God. And if the law says do this, you say, yes, sir. But when it comes to the Word of God, you say, well, I don't know that that's so important. I mean, after all, that's his interpretation. Be careful. Be careful. You take this precious stuff, and You blend it. You muddle it with pagan things and unite them together. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? Do you agree with a compromised Christianity and having paganism and Christianity mixed together, stirred up? Is that your religion? We have said that Baptist people are the people of the book. I don't believe it much anymore because I see Baptists are having all kinds of services on their so-called Easter services. My sister lives in Minnesota, my one sister, and not too far from the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And I saw this article and I said, hey, that's close to my sister's place. I think I'll look at it. And it says, the article is, what Easter means. It's hot off the press. There's a church in Minneapolis called Eastern Lutheran Church. Easter Lutheran Church. It's the only United States congregation in the Lutheran denomination named for the Christian's holiest day. This is the holiest day. Who said it's the holiest day? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's 52 times a year. That he has obligated us to do. How do you figure this is the holiest day? Well, this Lutheran preacher, he said that he started the church in 1973 and the Lutheran congregation, and he said, well, I don't know of any Lutheran church that calls them Eastern Lutheran Church. And he said, I'm going to give it the name Easter Lutheran Church. And so, boy, it's a big deal. And some of this I'm familiar with because I had originally planned to be a Lutheran preacher and couldn't handle it because they're so far out in left field. Now, don't be naming names. Yes, name names. One of the statements here, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. It says, it feels more happy to me to have all these special services. What? It feels more happy to me. Are we as Christians to be ruled by our senses? No, we have senses, and we want our senses. God has been good to us and to enjoy our senses, but is a worship service based upon our senses? Hey, if it's that way, then let's have some rock and roll groups. Get these young people jiving, and you old guys getting off the chair a little bit and winging a little bit. Let's have it really an entertainment like a church over in the valley has. Their church services basically, and they bring in gospel quartets, and I like some good gospel quartet, but hey, what else? What's so unusual about this? No, not really it's unusual. In preparation for the Easter service, they gave up 40 days for Lent. Now, did you ever figure out where that came from? Huh? Did you ever figure it out? I practiced it. Well, so what? Well, some of your friends and some of your relatives practice it too. What's it all about? Is it all right? Sure, fasting is good. 40 days from what? Well, this couple, Sarah and Dan Corral, they gave up candy and desserts and alcohol during the 40 days of Lent. Well, you say, don't make fun of that. But where is that in the Bible? Come on. You show me where it's 40 days they were to do this. But I can show you in paganism. See, the mixing, the blending, the muddling of paganism with Christianity, we've always done it that way. So don't disturb me, preacher. We've always done that way. Ever since I was a child, we did this. Now, what are you trying to throw this stuff at me for? You say, well, if you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, you want to know what the truth is. If you have a real desire to be a genuine type of a Christian. Well, their children, that is Sarah and Dan Corral's children, they pick up the atmosphere of festivity and excitement. They said it feels like a big party. I get to wake up and look forward to church and dressing up and looking for Easter eggs, said the girl, and I don't think I can pronounce her name, Anika, A-N-N-I-K-E, Nike. Quote, and there is more fun music in church. It just makes more happy. It feels more happy to me. See, children can tell you a lot about why we do things. And here's the one, just a few other things. There's three pages, so you'll have to forgive me if I just give a little bit of it. Easter is a celebration of the sacrifice. I remember as a child, you always got new dress. It's always that time of year when the tulips are coming up. And who doesn't like tulips? They're beautiful. In fact, the matter is, if I said to you, we are a Tulip Baptist Church, some of you would say, what in the world is he talking about? Do you know theologically what the word tulip recognizes? The 5 points of Calvinism? I know there are some churches, Baptist Church, they call them, not many, but I have read in the past of churches that were entitled or given the name Tulip Baptist Church, which if you don't theologically understand it, it probably wouldn't mean much to you. Anyway, the Eastern Lutheran Church members, they participate in a Good Friday crosswalk. That's an ecumenical tradition that you just carry a large cross through town, through the city, with stops to pray and read and sing. It's a large cross. And it happened in this area. I saw in the Sun Gazette they do this. So it's a large wooden cross. It takes almost 15 to 20 people to carry it. Excuse me. And then I'll close out with this. They lift the black off of their cross. They have a cover over the cross. They lift that off in the Eastern Lutheran Church. And the people will start to sing hallelujah, a word that has not been spoken in the church since Ash Wednesday. Come on. You mean for 40 days, the people were not allowed to say hallelujah, which means praise the Lord? You say, this is silly stuff. This is what goes on religiously. And some of us say, well, that's all right. No, it isn't. We're to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And not to do it during Lent? No. They said there's no darker, more terrible day than Good Friday, the crucifixion of the Lord, but out of it comes life. Well, I understand that. At this time of year, you look around and it's spring, things are growing. It's almost as though the spirit of life just pulled out of the ground, and we talk about fertility. That's what rabbits are all about. Eggs, that's what it's all about. And the goddess of fertility, Ishtar. I want us to turn, please, to Revelation 17 on this subject of Easter, Resurrection Day services versus the Word of God. 17th chapter of Revelation. Now, I think you get the point of what's going on here. I think that I would open this up by saying, you be careful. If you don't go along with what the Word of God says, then you may be drifting back into Catholicism. No. Okay. 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Oh, I don't like that. No, neither. But the whore has some daughters. Verse 5 says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. And you know what? The churches that have come out of Roman Catholicism are harlots. They're going back. I can't believe in my time how many churches at one time didn't observe this, but now they're doing it. They have Ash Wednesday, put ash on their forehead, and their so-called Protestant churches. And I keep saying to people around me, I can see a drift back. And the Bible says that there'll be a time when there's a drifting back to the old whore. And I believe the whole whore is speaking about the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, preacher, you dare not do that. That's not politically correct. Who says the preacher has to be politically correct? Where's that written in the Word of God? The preacher is supposed to preach the Word of God. Don't give me that political correct stuff to be had done in the pulpit. If you think you, well, we just do, well, wait a minute. Look at verse 15 and 16. The whole chapter should be expounded. My brother Rick probably will get there. Hopefully, brother. Verse 15, and it's in still a connection about what we started out there in the first part of this chapter. And he saith unto me, the waters, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitting are peoples. Oh, peoples. And multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And it is simply saying, friends, historically, I think there's something to it. Before this all is over, there's going to be a going back, drifting back in, doing these things religiously. I don't see anything wrong with it, and I do this, and I don't care what the preacher says. I go ahead. I can add to and take away from the Word of God as much as I want to. And it's also referred to in the Bible as will worship. What's will worship? Will worship say, I think we ought to do this. And so if you got boards or elders that don't do any studying, you say, well, I think that sounds pretty good. I think business-wise that makes sense. That's will worship. What does the Word of God say? I brought along, just in case, some of you would say, well, I think he's off in deep field here somewhere. When it comes to the 300 and some years ago, there were people like us before that. I believe that there were churches like us from apostolic times, may not have the same name, but have many of the same practices that we practice. So, but this has to do with churches back about 300 some years ago, and they formulated from the Bible summaries of what they felt the Bible taught. And there's 32 chapters. If you don't have one of these, we have some back there in the window. If you ask somebody, they'll get one for you. Concerning the Word of God, the first chapter is about the Scriptures. Well, all right. It says about the Scriptures, I want to just, I don't know how many paragraphs there are here. There are books of the Bible called the Apocrypha books, and they said, now listen, they do not possess any authority in the Church of God. I had a Baptist preacher years ago when I was teaching school, and he preached from the Apocrypha on a Sunday morning service. But it says that therefore they do not possess any authority in the Church of God and are to be regarded and used in the same way as the other writings of men. What else? Here it is. At the same time, however, we acknowledge that inward enlightenment from the Spirit of God. Now, I got to read that first part. The sum total of God's revelation concerning all things essential to His own glory and to the salvation and the faith and life of men is either explicitly set down or implicitly contained in Holy Scripture. Nothing, whether a supposed revelation of the Spirit of man's tradition, is ever to be added to the Scripture. I need to repeat that. Nothing. Nothing. Whether it's a supposed revelation, people say, well, God told me. I had a Baptist deacon tell me that one time. We were in a board meeting, and he was trying to say something, do something, and he said, God told me. And it was contrary to the Word of God. Now, what would you do with a deacon like that? I had to say to him, I said, wait a minute. That's contrary to the Word of God. Well, God told me. That settles it. These people who call themselves, you know, spirit-filled, I'm not making fun of that either, but charismatic, it isn't uncommon for them to say, hey, God told me this. And that's, if it coincides with the book, brother, Does it coincide? Because it says here, nothing, whether a supposed revelation of the Spirit or man's tradition, is ever to be added to the Scripture. You knew that. But the Scripture we looked at was back there that Dan read for us in Deuteronomy chapter 12. And it wouldn't hurt to go back there a little bit, because this is the Word of God. This isn't some man-written thing. And God says this in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. And I start there at verse 28. You need to take it seriously. It's all the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That includes the Old Testament, in case you thought it didn't. Observe verse 28 of Deuteronomy 12. And what is what we're talking about? We're talking about this, these special days like Easter, Resurrection Day services. How does it stack up with what the Scripture says? Observe, and hear verse 28, and hear all these words which I command thee. Oh, that it may go well with thee. You mean, if I kind of do my thing, it may not go well with me, Lord? He said, in fact, the matter is, I'm going to say it to you very quickly, it may damn you. No, don't say that. It's dangerous. You say, well, I don't care. It's dangerous. And with thy children, you're concerned about your kids, aren't you? And after thee forever, when thou dost that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Yes. Now, when you enter into this land, he says, you find paganism. And there's paganism all around us, friends. Yeah, I'm not going to read that. But it says in verse 30, it said, you take heed to yourself. You better be careful. You can kind of drift back into some things. And that's dangerous. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared or trapped by following it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. After all, it says resurrection. And that's the great thing of the Bible. Indeed it is. 52 times a year, it's a duty and obligation to worship the Lord. God said so. Honor me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. By the way, if you're having a problem with that Sabbath thing, and you say, I still think that it ought to be Saturday. Sabbath does not mean Saturday. Sabbath means rest. Now, if you want to join the Jews in their unbelief of Jesus Christ, you go ahead and observe Saturday if you want to. Go ahead. If you want to associate with the unbelieving Jews, go ahead. And I'm not knocking the Jews. I'm saying theologically is what I'm saying, not personally. Take heed, verse 30. Take heed to thyself that thou be not trapped or snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth. Now, Lord, you can't be that strong about some of this. He said, listen to me further. They have done unto their gods, even their sons and their daughters, they have burned in the fire to their gods. Verse 32, what things soever I command you, God speaking, friends. If you don't have it read in the Old Testament, you can put it in red. This is God's word. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. Thus saith the Lord God. Yeah, but Lord, that's not the way I was brought up. That's not the way, we've always done it otherwise. You know, the news has it about the Pope. And there's people saying that he ought to resign. I laugh at that. He's the vicar of Christ on earth. Asking Christ to resign. No? He is, and that's not true, but that's what he called himself. Anyway, when some people are saying, well, I fire him. How are you going to fire the Pope? But I'll guarantee you this. You just turn on any of the channels, especially the channels that are kind of religious-minded, and they'll be telling you about the Pope. About the Pope on Easter Sunday. And he said Mass, and he did this, and he's the bright and shiny thing. He's the bright and shiny thing of this whole period. And you say, well, I don't understand why they give such prominence to the Pope. Yeah, I do. I understand how he's responsible of taking paganism, not this particular pope, but the popes in the past, and blending it together, amalgamating the matter, compromising the Word of God with paganism, Christianizing these pagan days. So the Christians say, oh, but the pope says it's all right. And so that's where we have these big days like Easter, or if I may make it sound a little better, Resurrection Sunday, make it sound a little better, or Christmas or Xmas, Mass. Well, you know, friends, I just would have you look at a couple more passages. 2 Corinthians, if you can find that, 6th chapter. Why are you taking us all over the Bible? Well, it's the Word of God wherever I take you, and I'm on a particular subject about this pernicious worshiping special religious days when we don't have the authority of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What's that going to tell us? Well, let me start to read. It says something about that we need to kind of come out of these things. If you got into it, you still can get out of the ditch. Now, verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What does God say? He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? We're talking about paganism, yes, yes. Well, why you mess around with it? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That means the Satan. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Excuse me. Ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, and all this is precious, he said, I will. I'll dwell in them. I'll walk in them. And I'll be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I will be a father. I love this. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughter. Who says all that, saith the Lord Almighty? Brethren, I just love that. I have chills on my back. And that's really being quite sensuous, isn't it? That God has said this. He said, you obey me. You do what I say. Don't be following man. And if a preacher says something, check it out. Be a Berean. Does the Word of God really say this? And if it says it, then I say, yes, I will do it. The great commander has told me to do it. There's a Latin term, sola scriptura, the Bible only. The Bible only. It's for our faith and for our practice. We believe it. And God's way is perfect. It's not insignificant. I can take it or leave it. No, you cannot. Because back in Deuteronomy it says it's a dangerous thing. You say, I don't think I'm going to do that. It's dangerous. Now, would you clear something up for me quickly? What? You're against eggs? Am I against eggs? Man, I usually have two for breakfast. What do you mean I'm against? I love eggs. We used to raise land hens. Eggs are good. Well, and if you want to, make them pretty. I don't care. As long as I can eat them. And you say, well, I don't know what your problem is then. The problem is that what is the meaning for eggs? It is the meaning from the eggs, you'll have to check it out, is in paganism. It has to do with fertility. 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 And you say, well, listen, if your kids want to, you and your kids want to have pretty eggs, just go ahead and do it. Don't be doing it on the Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day. He has said, this is what you do. You have prayer, you have scripture, you have exposing the Word of God, you have Christian fellowship, you have the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. How often do we have the Lord's Supper? 6 times a year? Do it in remembrance of me. Well, remember the Lord Jesus. What about him? He died, and he shed his precious blood, and on the cross of Calvary, taking our place, remember me, he says. Have the Lord's Supper. preceded, my friends, by baptism. Because baptism is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection. Baptism speaks about death, right? And before you can have resurrected life, you have to have death. So if you are a Christian and you haven't been baptized, dear friend, you want to obey the Lord, get baptized. Because it's a picture of you believe in the death of Christ for you, and he was buried. He would go under the water. It's speaking about immersion under the water and come up in newness of life. It's a glorious thing. When I was in the stage church where we did all these crazy things, they put little drops of water in my head and they said that was baptism. But when I got to reading the Word of God and studying, I thought, that isn't baptism. Baptism, it means the word to be immersed, to be put under. And yet churches go right on with it. It's more convenient. And I've heard a man say to me, I can't be baptized. Why not? He said, to put my head underwater, it would be, I don't know what happened to me. And I probably would die. What kind of excuses people have, though, why they won't obey the Word of God? Are you like that? I hope you aren't. So is Easter Christian? No, it isn't. In the Bible, it had to do with Herod's pagan worship. And is there returning to these pagan ways? Yes, there's plenty of it. The goddess of fertility has to do with most of all the Easter observances, almost all of them, if you want to check it out. Yeah. God says this is the way to do it. You worshiping me on the Lord's Day, and let's call it the Lord's Day. That's 52 times a year in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and do what he says. The early church gives us an example. The Word of God gives us an example. Even the matter of bringing our love gifts, our tithes, these are all there in the Word of God. And so I say, well, I don't know. Listen, don't do like Israel did. What'd they do? Well, they didn't have the preacher talking to them. He was up on the mountain. And they said to a subservant fellow, he said, hey, we don't know whether he's coming back or not. We need to have some worship. And he said, well, what are we going to do? Here we go, we'll worship. Well, we ought to have a golden calf. Take gold, make golden calf. And they had a golden calf ruckus. That's exactly what we're doing today. The very thing, history has a way of repeating itself. We're doing the same thing. We're having a ruckus, and we're just going back, and the further you, the more you get into this and get tangled in it, the worse it gets. Maybe I've labored the point too much, but I don't think so. And so our special day is one day a week. That's our special day, 52 times a year. In fact, the matter is, it also speaks about that, I guess I could find it yet. We've been through this. We have some tapes on the study of this if you want it. Let's see. Here. Under the chapter on religious worship and the Lord's Day, that's chapter 22. It says, there's the reading of the Scripture, the preaching and the hearing of the Word of God, the instruction and the admonishing of one another by means of the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with heartfelt thankfulness to the Lord, and observance of baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are all part of the divine worship to be performed obediently, intelligently, faithfully, reverently, and with godly fear. Moreover, on special occasion, now watch this, solemn humiliation, that is, fasting and thanksgiving, ought to be observed in a holy and reverent manner. Brethren, you say, where's the Scripture? If you don't have this, just full of Scripture verses for you to check it out. Well, that's what somebody said. Sure, they were godly men. Godly men, known for their godliness. They sat down for I don't know how long, it's years, and they come up with a summary. It's a quick summary. It's not not anywhere equal to the Word of God, but it's the summary of what the Word of God teaches. You ought to have one to read it. So what are you trying to say to us? I'm trying to say to you it's possible to have a Bible-believing, a Bible-practicing church. Now, I know the mega churches, they're having a big time and they get their members and so forth, but that's not it. Despise not the day of small things. Don't get an inferior complex, because by nature, as the culture of the United States, we have not an inferior, but we, in the United States, we have a superior complex. But the Word of God says, despise not the day of small things. If you have a superior complex, probably you don't know what it means to be born again, because the Bible teaches against such things. Of pride goeth before a fall. And every time we have special one-day events or a season, it somehow wants to add to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Add to the gospel. Oh, this would be good. This is what we ought to do. We ought to do this. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful and sufficient in itself. We don't even add to it by adding some special days. Is it going to be man-made, or are we going to have a biblical matters in these things? Does it make any difference? No. One big day event, if you're going to call it Easter, or Easter season, or Happy Easter, or Happy Resurrection Day, are you going to participate in these things? I was talking to a young fellow, 63 years of age. I had him in junior. He was a junior in school when I was doing some teaching. And he said, Dr. Richard Lawball, he said, he's getting ready for retirement. I can remember him as this young man like that. And boy, that puts you in an old man, doesn't it, Bob? But hey, the point that I am saying is this, is are we going to go by the way of the book, or are we going to go by way of culture, or the way I want to see it? And the Bible does say something that you and I need to get, and I don't have the verse in my mind at the moment, but I do want to say this. There's a verse that says, beware of being too religious. What? Beware of being too religious-minded. Oh, I can get so religious. I'll do this day, I'll do this, and I sacrifice, and I do this, and I do this, and so beware, it says, of being too religious. It'll take out demise, the importance of our blessed Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. What a Savior.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.